Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
It is Sunday, November 28th, and this is a bonus episode of the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast. Big news out of the world of college football as it relates to college football recruiting. A couple of big hires. LSU misses on a couple guys, but it means that USC and Florida get their guys. Florida lands Billy Napier and USC lands Lincoln Riley from Oklahoma. I've got the director of recruiting for 24/7 Sports on the line, Mr. Steve Wilfong, to break it all down. Let's begin with Lincoln Riley sending shockwaves through the world of college football, Steve. He is headed to Los Angeles.
I got a text from someone around the USC program about 5 minutes ago that said, think that recruiting ranking will change pretty quickly. The Trojans sit at number 67 nationally with just 8 commits. After finishing number 7 last year, a little bit of a resurgence under Clay Helton in that last cycle, but they obviously weren't able to sustain it. And I also got a text last night after LSU beat A&M from a source around the LSU program saying, looking forward to some crystal ball changes. It's because A&M had really run roughshod in that state and others. You know, I think LSU getting a big win there at the end against A&M really gives a boost for whoever takes that job. So this could be as wild the 3 weeks that we're going to have, or less than 3 weeks leading up to the early signing period, with really Lincoln Riley just opening a big old can of worms and leaving Oklahoma, which most would consider a destination job. He turned it into a stepping stool. The Sooners have the number 7 recruiting class in the country. Gabriel Bronlow Dindy's the class jewel. You know, he nearly went to A&M. He's an Oklahoma legacy. Relique Brown, our crystal balls are already changing for USC, all of us. So it'll be interesting to see. This was another good class. I thought they had a great class last year. I really like the trajectory of Oklahoma's program, but I guess I just got a text. Marvin Jones was supposed to come in for an unofficial to Oklahoma. And I don't know if that's going to happen, but they were in a great spot for one of the best edge rushers in the country. And then they're off and running in 2023, also the number one class in the country in 2023 with Malachi and Brandon Innes. And Lincoln Riley had a hell of a thing, Bill. It's hard to win the championship every year, but damn, Oklahoma was in there and he gone. He gone, Blair.
He is gone. And that's what's significant about this, is that this is going to send ripple effects across the country right now. Now, with USC securing one of the elite head coaches in college football, this reinvigorates what we've already known about USC, and that's that it's a sleeping power. They're going to be able to recruit nationally. They need to start locking in some prospects from the West Coast. And Lincoln Riley had been recruiting Southern California better than Clay Helton had been recruiting Southern California. And he's been developing players at a better rate. And when you mix all of that together and you bring him over with the resources and kind of the, I want to say maybe the motivation now that USC has to bring that program back up to the top. I mean, what does this do for Oregon, right? And their efforts out west? How does this affect even a Texas, right? Which had been coming out to California and now doesn't have that, you know, kind of that jostling or that sparring partner headed to the SEC with Lincoln Riley now leaving that scenario, heading west. And I think this is going to be monumental for the Trojans. And I would completely expect them to be recruiting at a top five level now.
It'll be interesting to see who Oklahoma hires. So the jury kind of out on that program right now, but what a scary time. And Mario Cristobal was by far the hardest working head coach in the Pac-12 on the trail. He's got company now. Lincoln Riley was as visible a head coach recruiter as there is in the country. When I think about the head coaches that I think worked the hardest, Kirby Smart comes to mind. Mario Cristobal comes to mind. Ryan Day comes to mind. And, Nick Saban and just how religious he is in watching film. And so now you got Lincoln Riley and Mario Cristobal out there in the Pac-12 together. It's going to be a lot harder for Coach Cristobal to go into California and land a T-Mac. And people got to get these guys to December 15th. At the start of the month, I said that about Texas A&M. At the start of November, hey, they got a chance to finish number one. They got to get all these guys to signing day and wild. This is just wild, man. I mean, Lincoln Riley to USC, it just kind of blows me away.
It should. I mean, I think it's honestly, and based on some of the feedback that I've gotten from recruits and their parents early on, we're recording this a mere hour or so since everything dropped. I mean, everything continues to develop, but there is a sense of shock. And I think there is a sense of, all right, let's see how everything falls into place, which assistants are going to follow Lincoln Riley to Los Angeles, how that whole scheme is going to set up. I think before a lot of the flips and a lot of the speculation begins to happen, I think we need a little bit more information, but I make no mistake about it. This is going to be huge for USC, for the West Coast, and for recruits that wanted maybe a better excuse to stay home, right? You're thinking about some of the prospects that are already committed to Oklahoma in the 23 class, five-star Malachi Nelson, five-star Makai Lemon, four-star DeAndre Moore. You had the number one center out west, Joshua Bates from the state of Colorado. You mentioned Relique Brown earlier, but he's also, he's got a commit from Colorado in the 22 class, and that would be Gavin Sawchuk, who also took an official visit to USC. Jake Taylor is one of the better offensive linemen in the country, committed to Oklahoma, also has, some strong interest in USC. I think they were in his top four. So this is, I think, now going to really sway things in a way that is only favorable to USC.
I wonder who he's going to take on his staff. I was just going to say, he seems like a loyal guy. And so I wonder, if he's going to take his staffers with him, because he has some really good recruiters on his staff too.
Yeah, like a DeMarco Murray or even a coach, Biedenball, right? The offensive Calvin line
Thibodeau,
coach.
Jamar Kane, yeah. Coach Manning. Those guys did a great job. And really, they had an understaffed off-field recruiting department. You talk about Drew Hill, Chip Viney. They're not built like some of these other operations. It was kind of a more mom-and-pop shop in Norman. And that's what, that's what made Coach Riley so impressive, is just how visible he was with the top targets, man. I mean, those guys committed to the production, but they also committed to the people. And so USC, they're going to have major momentum. I wonder how quickly it's going to kick in here as they finish 2022, who they're going to get the spatula out on. Damani, there's so many good players that they can come back around on, maybe. When you look in state, what does Ernest Green think about this? Damani Jackson, of course, David Bailey, who's the best pass rusher out west. Hero Canoe, from Europe, but playing out there. It's going to be super interesting how USC closes, and they're certainly going to get a recruiting bump with Lincoln Riley.
And even with their quarterback, right, who had just decommitted over the weekend.
Right.
Top 100 prospect Devin Brown backed off his commitment to USC, which had been standing for well over a year, has just taken official visits to Ohio State and Texas, is set to host Ole Miss for an in-home visit as well this weekend. So, when a Lincoln Riley is now going to be, your head coach, does that make you do a double take and maybe go back and say, I kind of do want to be a Trojan. So a lot of things to work there for USC. And I think we'll wait and see what happens at Oklahoma. Now, I think the speculation turns into who's going to be the head coach there. Obviously, we had heard, a little bit of noise and reports about Matt Campbell being possible candidate in case Lincoln Riley left for LSU.
And I think for Matt Campbell, it's a thing where he wants to go somewhere where he's the alpha in his state. Iowa State, he's done a great job there, but Iowa has built-in recruiting advantages for the most part. that Iowa State doesn't have. You go to Oklahoma. Oklahoma has built-in recruiting advantages that Oklahoma State, for the most part, doesn't have. So it's certainly that job on the surface fits Matt Campbell. You know, the SEC changes the elements of that, though. Some guys are. I'm not saying Matt Campbell is or isn't. The SEC is a different monster to other leagues, and so you have to be wired for it.
Yeah, no, I completely agree, and I think that is one of the ingredients that is now going to make that job and make that potential hire an interesting one as Oklahoma searches for the replacement for Lincoln Riley. And speaking of the SEC,
you got to be phenomenal in the trenches in the SEC. And so whoever's getting that job at Oklahoma has to go recruit those positions with the same tenacity and tenacity that I thought Oklahoma was. I thought Oklahoma was building their roster at a high level to go play in the SEC. And Derek Moore committed. That's an SEC type player, you know. And like I said, Marvin Jones Jr. was supposed to visit there this week. It's obviously an SEC player. You know, the new coach is going to have to keep that rolling at the point of attack. It's a different monster in that league. It's a bigger league, the bigger people.
Bigger league, bigger people, and bigger noise. Billy Napier's also headed to the SEC. He's the new hire at Florida as the Gators get their guy. He's a guy that has a lot of SEC background, being an assistant, has some various stops there. Is from, I think, Northern Georgia, so he's got some of those ties there in that state as well, versed in recruiting the Southeast and being able to stockpile talent. And, you know, based on what he was able to do at Louisiana, I mean, I think this is one of those hires that definitely, you know, I think maybe gets a plus next to it, right? Like you have to assume that this is going to be a really good move for the Gators.
I love it. You know, we'll see how it goes moving forward. But here's kind of the deal. Like people are like, look at what Dan Mullen did with the talent that Mississippi State got. Imagine what he could do with the talent that Florida gets. You got to go out and get it, though. You know, it doesn't just come to you because you're Florida. It puts you in the conversation. And I think Florida was in the lead group for a lot of guys that they saw go to Alabama and Georgia and other places. I think they only have one top 20 player in the state committed right now, three last year and three the year before. So 7 out of 60 or something like that, top 20 players in the state at Florida. So you got to go out and you got to get these guys to come say yes to you. And Billy Napier, you know, he's finished atop the Sun Belt recruiting standings every year he's been there. And when you look at this football team, 11-3, 10-1, 11-1 the last three seasons, those are the only three 10-plus win seasons that this program's ever had. So he is the most successful coach in Louisiana history. He's got a background in the SEC. He's got a background as a high school coach's kid. He works hard at recruiting. He loves the evaluation component of it. And I think that Florida is going to give max effort from the top down to lure the biggest or their top targets to Gainesville. And that's all you can ask. And I think that under the last regime, Coach Mullen put that on the plate of his assistant coaches and off-field recruiting staff and didn't carry his weight. And that league's changing. Kirby Smart's a 9-inning guy. Nick Saban and his staff is such a well-oiled machine that you're recruiting against. Jimbo Fisher, 9-inning guy. You know, it's Ed Orgeron, LSU, man, they recruited their asses off three straight top five classes. I know they went 6-6 this year, but those kids played hard. And I think that program's on got potential to bounce back rather quickly. But Florida, this is an exciting hire. Napier's gotten it done on the field. He works hard in recruiting. I think he's ready for a job like this. And you know, we'll see how he does.
When you think about in-state recruiting, I know that's always been a big talking point with Florida, you know, not being able to combat the Georgias and the Bamas and the LSUs from going into the state, winning those battles against Miami and Florida State. And I think Billy Napier understands the value of being able to recruit locally, nearby, in that same region. And if this is going to be a mad dash to the early signing period, and we're about, 15, 16 days until the ink starts to meet paper with some of these prospects. You know, Florida right now sitting outside the top 30 in the recruiting rankings for the 22 class, number 11 among SEC schools. So there's a lot of room to grow for them in that program. But even if they don't close strongly, and they aren't able to maybe get some flips that they will surely be trying to make here in the last couple of weeks. I think this is only good news for the 23 efforts, right? To start getting that ball rolling and start to shift some of the momentum, not only in recruiting the in-state prospects, but to start building kind of that brand that Florida wants to build.
Right. The Cormani McLeans, the Richard Youngs of the world. You know, getting those guys to be Gators. But then Florida has a powerful enough brand. If Texas A&M can come up to Tennessee and get a commitment from Walter Nolan, who at one point had Florida as his leader, you know, Florida can recruit across the SEC footprint and land guys. Tony Mitchell out of Alabama, you know, those are the kind of guys that they need to be in the middle of it for. They can go into Texas, go into Georgia and get a Vic Burley type player, go up to, you know, the East Coast and land Samson Okunlola, a big offensive tackle. And I'm not saying any of these guys are Floridians. I'm just pointing to the quality of player that they should be in on. And you said USC top five recruiting classes. I think Florida has that capability. Look, these programs aren't going to finish in the top five every year. Only five can. But what I'm asking of those kind of programs is to give max effort to land the majority of the prospects they're supposed to land and address their needs year in and year out. And let's get a little more parity up in this football thing that we follow every year.
Yeah. And I do think it is significant, not only for Florida, but also for USC to make their hires when they did, right? They made their changes and now they're moving forward and we're making that dash toward the early signing period and into February. And with recruiting moving as quickly as it does now and the transfer portal being a factor, it's always more important to have your guy in place to get the wheels turning. And, you know, now I guess we wait on LSU, right? We wait on Washington. We wait on what Oklahoma is going to do and their response. Like I mentioned, really interesting stuff to monitor and track and to find out the recruiting ramifications of all of this coaching movement in college football. And we're going to be doing it all over at 247sports.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.